Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and today I'm joined by Grace Joaquin. So Grace, how do you feel about writing cover letters?
Like most people, it is probably not my favorite activity to do because they take, I think, a little bit more effort than resumes personally, because I think it's really important to personalize them. So cover letters, while it's not the worst thing you have to do, it's a lot of time. And I don't know about everyone else, but I'm that type of person that has to reread things about 100 times to make sure I didn't make a mistake. So
same.
It takes a minute to, how about you?
Yeah, same thing. And yeah, with resume, everything is like short bullet points, and the cover letter, you actually have to, you know, write eloquently and it needs to make sense. And yeah, I do think you need to pay a lot of attention to what you're applying for.
Yes, exactly.
Which is what we're going to talk more about
today. We will give you tips if you struggle too.
Yes.
That's what we're here to talk about.
Exactly. So yeah, our big topic today is cover letters, and we just really want to go pretty in depth here for those of you who are like, what is a cover letter? What in the world would I include in something like that? So what's your typical response, Grace, when students ask if they need to submit a cover letter when they're applying to a job?
I usually say obviously some places will require one, and then of course. You'd need to put it in. But honestly, majority of companies won't require it, but there might be a spot where you can upload as an option. Mm-hmm. And in those situations, I always tell students that they should. So even if it's optional, my recommendation is to always upload, because here's the thing. It's not going to hurt you, right? Like even if the employer doesn't read it in depth, it's only going to look good that you've made that effort to include it. And then plus, if they are someone who's going to read it in depth, it could really help you.
Absolutely. And it could help you down the road. Maybe it doesn't, you know, hopefully your resume is the piece that like gets you past some of the initial screening. But once you get more eyeballs on it, and they start looking more in depth at candidates, having a cover letter and having hopefully a little bit of different information about yourself, or, you know, a little bit more narrative style where you can tell a story a little bit easier than in a resume, I think it can come in pretty handy.
I know I can give an example recently where I was on a hiring committee, and the cover letter for me was really what sealed the deal of who I wanted to bring in. Again, I totally think what Megan said is probably true of most situations, where really your resume is the main thing they're looking at, your application details. And then once they're trying to narrow it down, they might look through your cover letter a little bit more closely. But I was on a search committee where the job itself is a new position and it wasn't super well defined. And so when we were looking through the applicants, we really wanted to know, do they have an understanding of what this job is or could be? Like, what is their vision for this position? Because it's a new one. And so reading the cover letters is really what helped us to figure out, oh, they do understand what we're trying to accomplish with this new role. So that honestly was, in that sense, almost more important than the resume in some ways, because it helped us understand their thought processes about the role.
Yeah. So it really can serve a pretty different purpose from a resume, which is like, here's the facts, here's the stuff that is the most relevant for this job, but it's a list, right? And it's a lot of things. Whereas the cover letter is your opportunity to say, right, maybe it's a little bit more of how you envision yourself fitting in that role, what you envision for the role itself, like in your example, to be able to do a little bit more of that storytelling.
Exactly. And to show off your writing skills as well. We didn't even mention that, but that's a huge piece
good
too.
Point.
Yeah,
for sure. So, all right. I think we agree that a cover letter is a pretty important part of a successful application. So let's get into it a little bit. Do you want to start talking just about cover letter formatting?
Yes. So if you're like me, I'm the type that stresses over that stuff.
Yeah.
I think in my head, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get this position simply because I didn't put the date in the
right
place, which probably isn't true, but that's the way my mind works.
Yes.
So I like to have sort of a blueprint, and we do have an example on our website. So if you just Google GVSU Career Center, our website has some resources in the students tab for cover letters. So you can see an example of formatting, which I think it's helpful to visually see that.
Yeah.
But one thing that I honestly didn't know until I got this role in the Career Center is that it's helpful to put your header on the top of your cover letter that is the same as your resume. So your header on your resume should have like your name, your contact info, and it's probably going to be in a certain like font or style. And what we like to do is put that on the cover letter because A, it's helpful information to have your contact info on there, and B, it helps tie it to the resume so they look like a nice matching set. Mm-hmm. It all looks cohesive. So that's one way to kind of stylize your cover letter in a way that's going to make it look professional and match with your resume.
Right. It's kind of your personal brand.
Exactly.
Right? You have this header that's going to go on your cover letter, your resume. Maybe you're using a similar font in other places if you, you know, need to provide other documents, things like that.
And that being said, it doesn't have to be anything super fancy.
No.
It's just simply that they are going to be formatted the same. So they look the same. But yeah, you don't have to get into any fancy graphics, maybe unless you're in a field where that's more
appreciated.
And so you want that at the top, and then you are going to have the next part is going to be left justified, and you're going to have the date on there. You are going to also have who you're writing it to, the name of like the director of the office you're applying to or the employer, as well as their address, their physical address, which it might seem kind of odd because we don't really send these letters physically anymore through the mail. But that's just kind of the standard. I've seen people leave it off. I don't think it's like the most important piece of the cover letter. But again, it is just most common to have their address on the top
it
left.
It is kind of one of those things that has kind of remained through the years that we probably don't need that, but everybody kind of still expects it.
Right. I think eventually it's going to
go away.
Yeah. But no, we're not there yet.
No.
And then I would single space that section. So like you're going to have like the employer's name, their address, single space it, and then add a space after that. And then you're going to put your greeting. So that would be like, dear whoever. Obviously it's very nice if you know a specific person to write the letter to, but it's very common to not know who you're going to write it to. So don't stress if you don't have a specific name. If you can get one, great. If not, we recommend something that's similar to dear hiring manager, dear hiring committee. You know, you of course will see people say something like to whom it may concern, but that's a little bit less personal even. So
or dear sir/madam, don't do that.
Yeah, it's a little too formal. Yeah. Or I mean, like this is a formal letter, but it's almost just a little too stuffy for this day and age. So yeah, we recommend dear hiring committee, dear hiring manager, something along those lines. Another small detail that isn't a huge deal, but if you're writing to someone who's really into grammar, they might care about this. After the greeting, you're going to put a colon. Not a comma.
So strange.
I know. And again, 99% of people probably won't
care or even notice.
Yeah. But technically, if you want to be correct, it will be a colon because it's a professional letter that you're writing.
Yep.
And then, so that's kind of the top part. Then you get into the body of it, which Megan and I will discuss. And then at the bottom, you do want to put some sort of sign off. So, you know, sincerely is tried and true. You can't really go wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Best regards, you know, go ahead and put your own little touch on it as long as it's something professional.
Right. We're not saying cheers or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't get too quirky with it, but you can, there's some options.
Sincerely sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, that's usually what I go with.
Yeah.
And then you're going to want to maybe put a few spaces and then type your name out. And then honestly, if you do want that like final nice last touch, you can print out your document, physically sign in between the signature and your typed name.
Yeah.
Or what am I trying to say? In between the
sign off. Sincerely, space, type name.
Yes.
You could put your signature above that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You don't, and then scan it back in. You don't have to do that last piece, but it does look nice. Mm-hmm. We will say the one thing you should avoid is probably typing in cursive your name.
Right.
That looks a little tacky. So either sign it or just type
your
in
actual
regular
signature.
Font.
Yeah, just keep it typed, right?
Yeah. So I think, another thing with formatting that I forgot to mention is the body of your paragraph. You do want the body to be single spaced with spaces in between each paragraph and everything left justified. So no indentations in the paragraphs.
Yeah. Good call. Good point. Cool. All right. So let's get into what you're actually going to be saying in your cover letter, which, you know, of course, is going to be very dependent on who you are, what your experiences are, and also what you're applying to. But these are just kind of general guidelines and a way to get started. So three paragraphs is typically what we're looking at. Now, that could very easily be four. Probably wouldn't be two because you'll kind of see how we're structuring this. But in general, this cover letter is not going to be more than one page in length. So typically that three, maybe four paragraphs is going to get you to where you need to be. So the first paragraph, you're going to start with what you are applying for. So you actually are going to tell me, you know, it is my pleasure to apply for XYZ internship at XYZ organization. So it's important to really name that, because you that's a real identifying factor for the person who's reading it. And maybe you're even applying to multiple jobs at a organization, right?
Also, I think it tips them off that you wrote this for them versus copy and pasted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you can kind of transition into the why. I think this piece is really the most important part of the first paragraph, because you want to be sharing, here's why I'm interested in this role. And that probably is going to be a combination of, you know, it's something you're passionate about, but also it's something that you're qualified for, right? So you want to put together a nice sentence or two that speaks to pretty specifically why you want this job. And then it also is a great opportunity to maybe share a little bit of the research you've done. So sharing what you know, either about the role and definitely about the organization itself. Again, that will allow you to not come across as if you're writing just kind of this copy and paste generic cover letter, so that it really feels personalized both to the role and to the organization, so that you can share, yes, I want to work for you, not just any marketing company, accounting firm, healthcare system, right? But this specific one.
One question I have, Megan.
Yeah.
So something I often see in that first paragraph is the first line says something like, hi, I'm Grace Joaquin. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't think you need it.
Yeah.
I don't think you need it. You'll be signing it, right? They're going to know who it's from. I would say just cut that out.
Especially when you only have one page to work with.
Yeah. Extra things you don't need.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did I cover...
Yeah.
First paragraph, anything else there?
I think the key, like Megan said, the key is to make it specific to that organization and to show your enthusiasm.
For sure.
Right away.
Yeah.
So second paragraph, and this is where it could sometimes split into two paragraphs. So you might have like a second and third. That would be this middle chunk. This is really going to be the meat of your paper is what I typically say. And it's where you're going to talk about your qualifications, like how your experiences might line up with the position, your specific background and why it might be of interest to them. Now, I think one pitfall some people fall into is that they just rehash exactly what's on their resume. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to do that because they can simply look at your resume and see what's on there. Instead, I always try to recommend pick one or two experiences or qualifications that you feel like are most relevant to this position and go a little bit more in depth than what's on the resume. An example would be like, let's say you have a job at Subway and you're applying for an internship in finance. Maybe on the resume, they're not going to see why that is applicable or why that connects. But maybe you have a specific, maybe you were a team lead or something in that role that is somehow relevant to the finance internship, and you can articulate that better in a cover letter.
Totally.
So, you know, thinking of those examples of like, okay, what's on my resume? What's missing? Like what information couldn't I get across on this resume that I can then put onto my cover letter? I think that's important to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Also with that, you want to be very specific. So, you know, again, instead of just rehashing the bullets of your resume, pick a couple experiences and give some specific details and examples of what you did or accomplished in those roles that can help paint a picture of who you are as a person, as a worker, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that painting of the picture is what makes a cover letter interesting to read.
Yeah.
Because if it's just a rehashing of the resume, I'm going to just skim it. But if I get to read a little story, a little example from your job at Subway and a time you really, you know, went above and beyond as in the team lead role or whatever it is, makes it a lot more fun to read.
Exactly. And you want to connect with your reader as well. Like you want them to feel like they got to know you a little bit and want to meet you in person.
Yep.
So that's where you can really let that shine, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And wouldn't you say like connecting it back to the role itself, if you can?
Yeah, just like I was mentioning with my example at the beginning, where I was on a hiring committee, it was really helpful to hear them talk about the role they're applying for to understand that they had a grasp of what that was and how it connected to their previous experiences. So always trying to tie everything back into what you're applying for is key.
Yep. And being kind of explicit in your writing.
Yes.
Right. As you end kind of that body section of the cover letter.
One tip I like to say for that is literally pull up the job description and look at the bullets. So they'll often have like 10 bullets of what they're looking for and mimic some of their language. So if they say we're looking for someone who has experience with XYZ, literally in your cover letter, you can say, I have experience with XYZ doing my work at Subway or whatever, and really pull from their language.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you know you're doing the connecting piece.
Yes.
For sure. Okay. So, I mean, we kind of already, it kind of seems like you're writing more than a page at this point, but we know, we know it, you're writing these stories, these examples, but you need to really edit them down as well. So maybe start with, you know, a longer example, but you're going to really want to pare that down so that it still is brief to the point.
And even visually, often with that first paragraph, even though there was a lot of things Megan mentioned, it ends up being pretty short.
Yeah, it's really
or it should be.
Yeah.
Because it's like if you're talking about why you're enthusiastic about the role, you can really say that in a sentence or two.
Exactly.
So hopefully, again, that middle part is typically the bulk of what you're going to be writing.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, the conclusion, that final paragraph, I find is one of the easier pieces of the cover letter. It might not need to change too much depending on what you're applying for, but basically you want to end on a positive note. Maybe you do a quick little reiteration of why you're applying, right? So maybe you're pointing out again, like, I can't wait to use my skills in this role or something like that. You can definitely use this paragraph to express interest in moving forward. So you can express interest in an interview. And then it's also good practice to share when you plan to follow up. So, maybe you know when the posting is closing and you'll follow up 2 weeks after that. Maybe you just follow up 2 weeks after you send the, application in, but either way, it's kind of nice to say, I'm going to be reaching out again because I want to hear back from you and I'm excited about this role.
Yeah, and that's one I sometimes will even mention. You can probably Google examples of a final paragraph in a cover letter, and obviously you're not going to copy it verbatim, but like you can really get some good ideas of what language to use because it's okay for that last one to be a little bit more generic.
Exactly.
Because it really,
because it's just thinking of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, it's fine.
Yes, for sure. Good. Okay. I think we've really hit all the main points. You can always come in to the Career Center. We actually really like to help with cover letters, especially if you've given it a shot first. You know, if you come in, we're just going to kind of say all the things we just said to you about how to write a cover letter. So get on our website, check out that example, give it a shot, even if it, you know, has some gaps, some things you're questioning. But yeah, then come in to see us in Career Lab or make an appointment with your career advisor.
I'll also plug the writing lab or the writing center, I mean, because this is so much writing. And it, I mean, I think I said earlier, you know, it's not going to hurt you to include one. It could only help you. However, the exception is if you do a poor job of writing it and like your grammar is off or things like that. So this one, for sure, you want to have multiple eyes on it just to make sure that you don't have those little mistakes that we all make sometimes.
Yeah. And those writing consultants are really good at kind of crafting language in a way, helping you maybe be more concise. What words can you eliminate?
Exactly.
Things like that. So yeah, lots of good resources at Grand Valley for that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I think we've about covered it.
Yeah, I do too.
So thank you so much to everyone for listening, and we hope you tune in to a future episode soon.